Everything wonderful that ever exploded in my life came in a place of not knowing. I was willing to be scared. I was willing to have my heart beating in my chest. I was willing to walk into rooms where I didn't know what to say. I was willing to stand up in front of people that were not just church people. I was willing to go where other people had not gone before and do things that other people had not done before. I was willing to walk by faith and not by sight. As long as you keep going back to what's safe, you will never grow. Until you are willing to be led out of your routine, outside of your understanding of yourself, you will never run into your miracles until you embrace the art of not knowing. The period of not knowing is very important, and yet it is very painful. The period of not knowing is what separates the men from the boys. Your ability to manage uncertainty, to deal with the unknown, to withstand the pressure of not knowing, rather than to create an elusive idea to comfort yourself with something that's not true. How you manage this instability will determine the next 10 years of your life. How you handle not knowing. I moved to Dallas, and I looked at a house in a particular neighborhood over on White Rock Lake, and a friend of mine told me, this was 23 years ago, he said, you can't buy a house over there. They don't sell houses to us over there. And I bought it. Because I didn't know. See, he had processed some information to be factual that really wasn't factual. My benefit was I didn't know. You can do more sometimes when you don't know than you can when you're dealing with people. I didn't know I couldn't do it, so I did it. I didn't know that I couldn't rent the World Congress Center, the Phillips Arena, and the Georgia Dome, and throw a party for Christians and have it packed to the gill. I didn't know I couldn't do it, so I could do it. See, sometimes your enemy is that you know too much. You know too much. You know too much. You know too much. You've bought into too many false ideas because the brain has rushed to a conclusion that God has not taken you to yet. And sometimes your knowing so much limits you from seeing into the depth of the possibilities of what could be done in your life if you understood the art of not knowing. Tell somebody, say, I don't know. Not knowing is much like a computer buffering, almost painfully, desperately attempting to connect with truth. Have you ever had your phone trying to pick up a signal and the little wheel is turning and it's just buffering and it's buffering and it's neither here nor there and you can't do anything with it because it's trying to make a connection that it hasn't made? That's what the brain goes through trying to figure out something. It doesn't like the instability. Psychologists call it intellectual closure. We are so desperate to know that if we don't know, we'll come up with a conclusion and call it a fact. Oh my God, I'm going somewhere. The other day, my phone was so desperate to connect to Wi-Fi and it wasn't picking up a signal that it picked up the Wi-Fi on my air conditioning system. It picked up the Wi-Fi on my air conditioning system, but the problem is the Wi-Fi on my air conditioning system wasn't strong enough to handle the load that I was going to put on the phone. In the absence of not knowing, it was desperate to grab anything, but when you're going to do great things, just anything will not do. You have to withstand not knowing till you get to something that can hold what you're trying to build. Touch me, people, and tell them, I'm going to wait on a good signal. Yeah. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on a good signal. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know how long I'll have to buffer. I don't know how long I'll have to be uncertain. But I'd rather be uncertain than to tie into an air conditioning Wi-Fi and not be able to fulfill my mission. The art of not knowing. 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 The lack of this message has killed marriages. It has destroyed marriages because you think you know what your spouse needs. Because you don't want to admit that you don't know. You are giving them what they used to need. Somebody else who doesn't know that he doesn't do that. Comes along and exposes him, and all of a sudden you can't figure out what's going on. It was your rule book about them. You knew too much about them. You stopped being curious. You already know him. He eats at 2 o'clock, goes to bed at 8 o'clock. I already know her. She doesn't wear makeup till the weekend. All right, that's what's wrong. You know too much. When you were curious and you didn't know, you were exciting, you were searching, you were investigative, you were assertive, you were engaged. But now that you know, he almost wants somebody who don't know, search me. I know you can't say nothing because you're sitting there beside each other and I'm hitting a little too close to home, but if you can't say amen, wiggle your toe. Before you knew your wife, you searched your wife, you chased your wife, you dated your wife, but now that you feel like you know her, you're not curious anymore. And the marriage withers because of this false information your brain has embraced to supply the feeling of satiety because you don't like not knowing. It's gonna get tough in here in a minute. It's gonna get tough in here in a minute. It's gonna get tough in here in a minute. It's gonna get tough in here in a minute. You need to close. You need to know. The reason you don't like that new coworker that has come to work and they can do things more progressively, even though you've been there 20 years longer, they know how to do the technology in a way that you don't. The reason you have become a hater and you expel them out of the organization and you manipulate them until they get pushed out of the organization is because you are not comfortable with not knowing. If you were to become more comfortable with not knowing, you could keep growing. You see, it's only he that hungers and thirsts. Is there anybody left that's still hungry? I'm trying to challenge you to be a fool again. To come to the text with more questions than answers. To walk into your business and stare at it and say, I don't know how to do this. And maybe there's a better way that I haven't thought of, and maybe there's a better move I could make, and maybe there's a better location I could be in, and maybe I've got the wrong people up front, and maybe there's a new woman in the woman I got, and maybe there's a new man in the man that I got, and maybe my rules are not true. maybe my roof. Oh no, I'm gonna mess with you a little bit. I'm gonna mess with you a little bit. I'm gonna mess with you a little bit, because before it's over, I'm gonna challenge you to shatter your truth. The people in this city, they just don't want to do nothing. They're just not progressive. Look at how your mind got tired of buffering and decided that you've capped out. And somebody else could take them people and build a cathedral. And somebody else could take that business and open it up in multiple locations. And somebody else could take that man and turn him into Superman. And somebody else could take that woman and turn her into something you didn't even recognize. Your problem is you know too much. And until you shatter what you know, you can't open your mind to the possibilities that all things are possible. Good God. Slap three people and say, all things are possible. They don't believe you. Find somebody that believes all things are possible. All things are possible. What you told yourself is true is not true. All things are possible. You can do it anywhere. You can build it everywhere. You can turn it completely alone. Jesus said, no, come out of everything that you used to do. Everything that you used to do. Everything that was normal to you. God is getting ready to change the game for somebody in this room.
In this moment, this is where worship becomes real, as you prioritize and recognize the relevance of God in your life by reaching into your stuff. It's not our singing, it's not our preaching, it's not our technology, but what will you render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? The information is on the screen, how you can become a contributor to the ministry and the work of the Lord, but more important than just that, how you can show God that you are grateful that in times like these, God has still made a way for you. In times like these, you still got something to eat. In times like these, you're feeling as well as you are. In times like these, you still got a place to lay your head. Oh, don't take that stuff for granted. God has been good to you. And you can't stand there and be nebulous and hide in the shadows and not recognize him in all of your ways. So do what you've got to do to be a part of this.
This is Mark 8, 22 through 26. You ready for this? This is a brief story that I want you to get something out of, the art of not knowing. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. They begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eye and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village." What's your point? I'm glad you asked. My point is not, all you need is a second touch. Oh, there's gonna be a second touch tonight that's gonna change your life completely. Oh, he will pick you up and turn you around. That's not my point. My point is, this man, Jesus came to Bethsaida They brought to him a blind man. Jesus took him out of Bethsaida. Now you have to understand, blind people survive by knowing their environment. There are blind people in this city that live alone, unattended, and do fine, and they can do fine, and they can take care of themselves, and they can cook, and they can manage their house because they know I'm 10 steps to the refrigerator. 3 steps to the stove. 5 steps to the table. And as long as you don't move anything, I can survive off of what I know. The only problem is I cannot get outside. See, some of you are trapped in what you know. And as long as we keep you in the prism that you have measured out, you can survive just fine because you've already counted out. First Sunday, everybody wears white. Third Sunday is men's Sunday. Fifth Sunday is youth Sunday. Wednesday night, we do Bible class. Watch night, we get out at 12:30. You've already marked off the steps. Nobody knows you're blind because you don't need a vision when you have a tradition. Who am I messing with today? So when they brought the blind man to Jesus, Jesus took him by the hand and led him out of his tradition. Touch 7 people and say, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. There's no expectation here. There's no excitement here. There's no creativity here. There's no release here. There's no power here. I need about 100 people who are ready to go somewhere fresh. If you came to this conference because you're ready to take it to the next level, make some noise in this place. Tell your neighbor on your left and your right, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to leave. When you have lunch with your staff, tell them we're getting ready to leave. We're getting ready to leave. We have been in Bethsaida long enough. We stayed in Bethsaida long enough. We drank in Bethsaida long enough. We did business in Bethsaida long enough. I'm tired of knowing the same people, talking to the same people on the phone, same people coming over my house. I'm getting out of Bethsaida. Holler at your boy. Where with Jesus? Where with Jesus? You carrying me where I'm not familiar. You carrying me out of my comfort zone. I'm buffering, trying to find something that's familiar. Jesus said, no. Come out of everything that you used to do. Everything that you used to do. Everything that was normal to you. God is getting ready to change the game for somebody in this room. I don't know who this is for. I don't know why he told me to preach it, but if it's you, for the next 30 seconds, give him a crazy praise. So they took him, they took him by the hand. And they led the blind man out. Can you imagine being blind in a new place? Well, come on, yeah. women, I'm scared. Women, I'm scared. I tripped. I fell. Wait, I didn't know that rock was there. I fell. Jesus led him out of Bethsaida. And then spat in his eye. He spat in his eye and touched him and said, "What do you see?" I see something. Some of you, my God, some of you are starting to, here, take this. Some of you are starting to see something. A little bit of light. A little bit of light is breaking through the darkness. You're starting to see, maybe I can do something. Maybe I can build something. I don't see it clearly. I don't have all the answers. I don't have it all worked out yet. But I see something. How many people see something? I'm not where I ought to be. But I sure ain't. Where I used to be. Jesus brings him out to give him a miracle that he could have never gotten in Bethsaida. There are no miracles in the familiar. Wait. I ain't through with you yet. There are no miracles in safe places. If you ain't scared, you ain't living. If you ain't tripping over new stuff, you ain't doing anything. If you're not going someplace you've never been before, meeting people you never met before, reaching after stuff you haven't reached after before, that's why God brought you here, to lead you. To lead you out of Bethsaida. Your problem is not your eyes. It's your environment. Nothing is going to happen in your familiar. God is waiting for you in your scary place. I want to pray for people who suspect that there's more in you than what you have received. And you've been praying, asking God, when, Lord? How, Lord? Why? Those are the people I want, and I want you to come right now. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to plead. I'm not going to sing a song. I'm not going to climb a hill. I'm not going to coax you. I want you to come because you want out of Bethsaida. You only do business with people who are like you. What's wrong with other folks' money? Your services are so predictable that your children act out your church service. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands. Not yet. When you lift your hands, I want you to lift your hand as a sign of I'm surrendering what I told myself so that I can possess what God has for me. If you're ready to surrender it, lift your hands. Here it is, Lord. I give up my way of thinking, my way of leading, my way of talking to people, my way of handling situations. I'm willing to relinquish all of that. I do not want to die in Bethsaida blind. I come against every voice that has been planted inside of you to limit your growth, to stop your creativity. I come against every voice. Some of them were planted all the way back in your childhood to terminate the possibilities of what God could do in your life. I break every curse that's ever been on your life, every bondage, every word that's ever been spoken over you. I break that feeling of unworthiness. I break that feeling of self-sabotaging. I break that feeling that I'm not supposed to be up here. I break that feeling of you not feeling like you deserve anything better than what you have. I break that feeling that makes you think that some folks have it and some folks don't, and you're not one of them. I break it right now in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and open your mouth. Glory is about to break out in your life. Glory is about to break out. Come on with me. Glory is about to break out in your life. Don't let nobody laugh at how God used you. You ain't gotta be nobody but yourself.
Find your purpose and learn how to transform your own unique vision into a powerful contribution to the world. For your gift of any amount, you'll receive Leadership Secrets, an audio series from Bishop T.D. Jakes' groundbreaking International Pastors and Leadership Conference that will help you hone your leadership skills and motivate you to move beyond the limitations of your goals.
You thought about it, you shouted about it, but if you don't jump, either you will stay on the boat with the fish, or you're gonna jump into your destiny.
For your gift of $150 or more, you'll receive SOAR, Bishop's inspiring book on how to embrace your God-given purpose. You'll also receive the companion book, Inspired to SOAR, 101 Daily Readings for Building Your Vision, and our Lead with Purpose and Power Vegan Leather Pad Folio, in addition to the Leadership Secrets audio series. Call or go online to receive your bundle today. Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Dungeon.